marvelous, wonderful, mysterious, powerful. On Pentecost, the church is born in this marvelous, wonderful, mysterious, and powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, who descends and takes up residence within our hearts, within our common life, and within our prophetic mission to the world. On Pentecost, a people is born in the Spirit. And every time we come around to celebrate this day, it's a reminder to us that these are not two separate things. The birth of the church and the indwelling of the Spirit, but one and the same thing. The church is born in and with the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is no church without the Spirit. There is no true spiritual birth without God's presence to ignite this fresh burst of life. There is no new people with a common fellowship across impassable cultural and linguistic boundaries unless there is something deeper, something truer that they share. On Pentecost, the church is born in the presence of God's Holy Spirit, drawing near and taking up new residence in our hearts together. As we celebrate a baptism and take communion this morning, we're reminded there is a sacramental aspect to today's celebration. Just as those first Christians were baptized with the Holy Spirit to form a church on Pentecost, so too every baptism is a celebration of the giving of the Holy Spirit into some individual's life. And it's not just the baptismal waters, but that gift of the Holy Spirit that incorporates them into the body of Christ. The giving of the Holy Spirit and being a part of Christ's church go hand in hand. As we come to the communion table later on in our service this morning, we will call the Spirit's presence into this meal that Christ has called us to share until he returns in glory. As we come to share that meal, we will invite the Spirit to take up residence in this sacrament so that we share, as we share the body and the blood of Christ, so we may become the true body and blood of Christ, renewed, refreshed, forgiven, and empowered by the Spirit to find new grace for this prophetic calling. Today is Pentecost. Happy spiritual birthday, church. It is a day to celebrate and sing, but more than that, a day to be renewed in the power of that Spirit that has given birth to our life, who has come into our life, who has called us and empowered us for a new spiritual living. Because we are a Pentecost people. We thrive within this presence. We are gifted and equipped to be God's people by this presence. We bear the fruit of this presence in our character when what has taken up residence on the inside of us makes itself known through our lives. Because we are a Pentecost people, the Spirit of God grows in us so that we might grow in it. That is what it really means to be spiritual. Not that we are attracted to spiritual subject matters as a curiosity, but that we live in the Spirit. Christians cannot comprehend the conventional distinction of our age between the spiritual and the religious, because to practice this faith is to embark on a new way forward as a spiritual people, as a church, which shares and moves together with this shared indwelling presence of God. happy spiritual birthday, O pilgrim people, O you baptized in water and spirit. On Pentecost, we open this second chapter of the book of Acts every year, almost like a birthday album of sorts, to see how another year's worth of living and growing and experiencing the world might frame a new angle of vision on what we might see in our origins. It calls forth our attention to facets of our ongoing life that shines out brightly today because of how they resonate with who we have been since our birth. Have you ever had that experience of opening a photo album before? Elizabeth, my lovely wife, has created a photo album for each of our kids through Shutterfly since the year they were born. We have an album for each year of their lives. It's one of these things where you can go online, where you can upload all of your pictures. You can twist them and turn them and put frames around them. You can manipulate the background colors and even design your own covers and then click one click of the mouse and then it spits you out a hardcover book that's on its way to your house in no time. It's a nicely printed little thing. Every now and then I pick one of those albums up and I look through it. And you notice little things when you do that. You notice little things like the way your kid held their lips when they smiled as a baby. And how some of those little details have stayed with them their whole lives long. You take stock of a lot of changes thumbing through the pages of those albums, but those things that seem to stay the same are the things that help you appreciate what makes them their own unique, precious combination of features. Looking back at Acts chapter 2 today, I can't help but notice three really distinctive features that have identified the church as the church from its very beginnings right up until now. Features that, as we take a look at them today, will remind us not only of who we've been, but of who we still need to be. The first thing that I notice here in Acts chapter 2 is the way that the Holy Spirit, right from the beginning, has been a force in our midst that inspires and empowers unity. Our unity. The Holy Spirit's influence in the life of this newly born people is to enable them not just to come together, but to find deep commonality together. A deep and surprising spiritual unity. A more basic and fundamental shared identity. An ability to go beyond all of those other differences. All other identity markers, even differences in language, to discover this fundamental oneness. Acts reminds us that just this thing is part of the spiritual power invested in this people at Pentecost. This is a people whose shared superpower is peacemaking, reconciliation, finding a Pentecost fellowship below the surface differences that so much of our world struggles to get beyond. That's a feature that's glaringly present here in our Acts 2 baby picture. Look, tongues of fire are dancing on their heads as Arabians and Greeks and Judeans and Africans hear each other's voices and discover that they are one. They are one. That's an unheard of thing then as it's just unheard of today. The church that was born on Pentecost is one and holy and universal. It's wide and it keeps on widening, keeps on discovering that beautiful unity among difference. And we're only ever discovering the miracle of that Pentecost wideness when we're walking in the Spirit's power. Amen? It's no secret that the Church of Jesus Christ has not always so focused, has not always been so focused on discovering this bedrock spiritual unity amid our diversities. The church today is a divided place. Denominations draw lines where the Spirit seeks to erase them. Even within denominations such as our own, broad unity is hard to come by. Even within annual conferences, even within single churches, what I see here in our baby picture today is that Pentecost unity was never going to be automatic. Never something that we would be able to attain without remaining in and operating in and using the gifts and fruits of a Spirit-filled people. Pentecost is a promise and a reality that comes with staying close to the heart of the Spirit that gives us birth, and claiming that that power is still at work in our lives today. The church is born. The church exists in the Spirit of God. The second thing that I see, in addition to this feature of our corporate life, is something in how the individual members of this body come together. Everybody here in Acts chapter 2 is participating. Everybody. Everybody is contributing something. There are no superhero individuals here in Acts chapter 2, but rather a group of people participating in different ways with different functions, in complementary ways that show forth that everyone is needed. Everyone has value. Everyone has something that's necessary and distinctive to contribute. And here they are contributing it. They're singing, they're speaking, they're laughing, they're hearing, they're about to get to work as a church in mission, sharing all that they had in common, and no one is left out. No one. No one is left out, and no one who's claiming that they too are a part of this body is withholding what they have to offer. Amen? And what we need to appreciate about that is that is a kind of miracle in its own right, you see? See, in the ancient world of this time, these witnesses to the first Pentecost would have been used to a style of religion where some did everything and most did nothing. Where some had gifts and talents that were valued and others were left thinking that they had nothing important to contribute. Where there were functions in the community's life that were esteemed and others that were less so. But here on Pentecost, we discover that the one body has many members, all equally vital, all necessary to the health and progress of what God was doing in their midst, a kingdom of priests. As 1 Peter reminds us, echoing that promise from Exodus and Isaiah, from our birth, this is who we are, and it's who we still aspire to become, because the Spirit is not a gift for the pastors or for the select few in our churches. It is for all of us. It is for the church. It is for all of the church. Third and finally, what I see here in Acts is that the church is born to be a prophetic people. Prophetic as a people. Together. As a whole. In the ways that we move out into our world for the sake of our world. Peter preaches from Joel this morning. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, even upon slaves, both men and women. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit Peter proclaims, and they shall prophesy. The whole people. The whole people. Young, old, men, women, everyone in between are made prophets on Pentecost, with a mission together to go out into our world. Gone are the days of the Lone Ranger prophets. Pentecost is the making of a prophetic people. Acts is the story of how they moved outward, not just the apostles through their preaching and their baptizing, but all of this people through their mission, through their caring, through their healing, through their radical hospitality, and their discipling, and their sharing a meal, and their inviting their neighbors to come and taste and see. This is the making of a prophetic people. Prophetic people. Three things that are distinctive here in our baby picture in Acts that have been a feature of our life throughout time when we're living well. When we're living well in the gift that the Spirit has breathed into our hearts and lives. Three features that we can see very clearly here in Acts and that we should see clearly in the church of every age, in any and every time and place. Three things that, among others, perhaps mark us as who we are with our own distinctive character. Spiritual unity. A Catholicity that's made possible by the ways that the Holy Spirit has equipped us with shared vision of being the people of God, a shared identity in Christ, gifts that make the body whole and well-functioning. Virtues of the heart like peacemaking and gentleness and goodness, peace, patience, kindness, and on down the line. Practices like forgiveness and reconciliation. Second, a place and a critical task and contribution for every single member of the body of Christ. And third, an active prophetic commission to be God's people in and for the world. Those are the features that I see in our baby picture church. Those are three of the most important features that have made us who we are and that reminds us who we're called to be. How are we doing on that? How well do we resemble the church at its birth? Where do we need to reclaim pieces of our Pentecost identity? Do we live in that Spirit-empowered unity that exhibits a deep fellowship amid a challenging diversity? Do we, as individuals, engage in our life here fully with our different giftings, bringing what each one of us has to God's table? Is it true of us that we are the carriers of a Spirit that is made prophets of us all? There's a mixed answer to that question, if we're honest. But God has breathed his life. God has commissioned us with the very presence and power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and sent us forth buzzing, playing. Our Pentecost life, our baptismal life, sends us forth to play in God's green pastures. And all of God's people said, Amen.